There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. Gets you through on a phone call or a text. In addition, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you'll see on the front page there of the app, which if you don't have it, just look for FM TALK 1065. You can do that on the App Store if you're an Apple user, if you're a cool Android user like me. Pause for effect. Go to Google Play. Either place, look for FM TALK 1065. That's our app. Download it. One of the many features on there, that microphone icon, you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. You may even want to use that to call in to, I said, Mr. Mobile Show tonight, and leave one of those talk back messages. My buddy John Young, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Of course, tonight in Mobile, we're going to talk about a little preview of what's coming up on the show tonight and probably bounce around some other ideas.
Right. Tonight's show is going to emphasize a phrase that's become popular. I've recognized it this past prom season. It's called prom send-off.
Prom sent. You sent me this last week, and,
right.
I was truly, in the definition of the word, I was ignorant. I didn't know.
Well, so was I until that whatever happens on these media platforms where I'm watching recordings, they started coming up. And I guess my phone may have been listening to me complaining about the status of families, and
right.
these start coming up, and I realized that some families are spending $20,000, $25,000 to have a party to send their child to prom.
Because it took me a second. It may take y'all older folks here, may process right. this more slowly. John had to show me multiple videos. So we're all proud. The kids graduate. It's prom. Cool. You know, you might like, yeah, you got to get the, you know, you're wearing a dress clothes. You know, you may get a, depending on where you are, you might get a tux or a
right.
dinner jacket or a suit you're going to wear or something like that. Okay, it's prom. Grandparents slip you a little money.
Mm-hmm.
You might get a fancy pen.
You get your older brother's car. Maybe
yeah,
dad lets you drive his.
Right,
you know.
Right, it's prom. This is not what we're talking about, y'all. I've now watched these videos. $20,000 to $25,000 party.
And what made me angry about it is that it was first described as ghetto prom, and then it become black prom, and suddenly there's another manifestation of black culture, and that's what.
How'd you then? You're a black guy. How'd you not know about it?
Well, because I'm not that kind of black guy. I guess you know I'm a black guy from the '70s, and when you know prom for us was you take that awkward picture in the living room. You know, the aunts and uncles are there
yes.
to look, and you
yeah,
know
the corsage and the
corsage,
yeah,
right?
Yes,
you know, you
yeah.
either went to Francia's or
yes.
Randall's when I was coming up,
yep.
and then you know you may have gone and had dinner at Russo's
mm-hmm.
Because that was the first taste of formal wear.
Yes,
for my generation, that was your
yeah.
first.
And you got coached up. Act right when you go out.
Right.
Use the manners we taught you.
Ladies is as ladies does, is
mm-hmm.
what they would tell the girls. They'd tell the boys, you know, you have my daughter home by midnight,
mm-hmm.
boy, and you,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got that hard handshake when you left the house and
mm-hmm.
iron, that long look in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you enjoyed it. You went back and you took your picture and you hung out and you put it in your memories album, and she kept her corsage until
mm-hmm.
she got married. And it was a fun memory. But now, and I can only, I'm going to talk about the topic, but I'll talk about how we got here in Solution on my show, so you can
mm-hmm.
tune in tonight. But now, once again, a manifestation of materialism and excess is being called black culture. Whether it's excess at graduation, shouting and fighting, or if it's at the prom, before you go to prom, renting Lamborghinis.
Yo, I've watched Bugattis. These videos. He's not joking. I mean, it's like cars. You've got like, I guess, make-believe paparazzi popping pictures when you get out. Right. You're fanning money.
Right.
You know.
Right. Thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Everything that you see rap stars do, everything you see in social media platforms has now become what is normal or expected for these kids. And the parents, and looking at some of the videos, it's public housing.
Yeah.
Or it is not a neighborhood where they have million-dollar homes. These are everyday normal neighborhoods. And they have decided to spend this money for this single night.
One night.
They have custom-made dresses, hundreds or thousands of dollars. The boys have custom-made suits. Custom-made flower arrangements. There's some of them even have
it looks like
buffet.
Wedding stuff. Yeah, some of that, the layout there.
Well, and my theory is that it replaces the wedding because you only see a majority of adult women in these videos. They're rarely adult men. And in my opinion, my theory, I haven't researched it enough, is that so many of these parents are single unwed mothers, and they know the chances are likely, or they believe the chances or likelihood of their daughter having a wedding is zero. They'll get pregnant before they get married, just like I did. So we're going to use this moment. And if you look at how they record these girls, it is like watching a bride prepare for her wedding. It is the girls there in attendance to her, and she goes to the makeup shop, and she wears her robe to the massage parlor, and that's why she's giving so much attention. And now the boy's name is included, you know, Ann and Andy. It's prom send-off, and there's a big billboard up and sparklers and cake. They treat it like a wedding. The disheartening part to me is that this is coming of age. This is not the height of your journey at 17 or 18 years old.
It's like you graduated high school. We're proud of you.
And you're supposed to graduate. You and I didn't have an option.
No, we did not.
You know, hey, I know that we graduated. We graduated from Baker about noon. We went and hung out for a party. We had that weekend to hang out. But Monday, you had to have a job.
Yes.
The party is over.
That's correct.
It's adult time. It's adult, and we looked forward to it. We were happy to become adults, those coming of age moments. But it has now taken on a life of its own. And what, like I said, what made me angry about it is once again, I'm being told what kind of black person I'm supposed to be when I didn't grow up like that. This is new. This is only 20 years old. This new phenomenon of exaggeration constantly.
And one thing, you mentioned like the neighborhoods, but let's talk about this. Let's talk about facts. That's something you and I do. As a percentage of income, and like I said, I've been educated now because John sent me videos, I've been watching this stuff. As a percentage of income, they're spending, I mean, maybe even going into debt on things like this.
Yes.
Instead of shoring up things for maybe having the money for the kids to do further schooling. Or security at home.
Right. Reliable transportation.
Correct.
Anything besides this one-day party. Because what is the message that you're sending the child? And another sidebar topic is we talk about the wealth income gap between black and white people. There can't be one if people are willing to spend thousands of dollars on a single event. It isn't a gap in income. It's what you want to spend your money on.
Yeah. It's a gap in outspending, or you know.
Right. It's a gap in what's important to me. What's important to some might be I'm going to save up this money for a down payment on a house and pay for my kid to go to college. And for some others, it might be this single event or this single moment of the prom. And that's wrong. That shows an immature mind leading an immature mind. Watching one of the videos, the lady said, I ain't got it like that. I'm doing this to uphold him and celebrate him. What's his test score?
Yeah.
What's his GPA? Can he read, write, or count? What's more important, the furtherance of a vocational job or junior college? What's more important, this single night that we all forget eventually?
If you talk about the numbers here, $20,000, $25,000, say the parent, and I watched videos and I told you and I were talking on the phone, and I said, I get it that the mamas are proud. Right, that's their baby. People are proud of their child. They graduated. And you talked about some of the, how were the grades and all that. But they're proud they reached this milestone. I think the way you show that love is, all right, son. All right, daughter. You did good. Here's an account right here. This money we've saved up. However, I've got this money for you to go to school. Like you said, I mean, this is going to get you on your feet. For the first 2 years, you don't have to take a student loan or something like that. Well, that's a heck of an investment in the future.
Right.
That could change that child's life.
Son, here's reliable transportation. Oh, yes. You don't want to go to school? Well, here's reliable transportation. You can drive over to Austell every day until 2 years, and then you get your own place.
Yeah.
Anything besides this. And so, like I said, for the third time, it is frustrating to constantly be told that black culture is a culture based on economy, social media likes, consumption, and materialism. I blame
that. And that doesn't build wealth. That's
at all. Right. Spending money does not build wealth. You can have positive debt, like...
a mortgage.
Right. Yes. Yeah, but going in debt for one night, running up your credit card bills or whatever the heck else was done to get the money. What are you reading something?
Yeah, just a couple of... this texture said, the problem thing is super new. It didn't start seeing it till after COVID. And trust me, it's not everybody. No, I don't think it's everybody, but it's...
Oh, no. For whom to have ears to hear, let him hear. But the problem is that it keeps being pawned off that it is everybody. And that's what
That it's black culture.
It is black culture, and it isn't. This was... You would have been laughed at as when I was a child if you showed up with a bedazzled suit custom. You'd be laughed at.
Or the other parents would have said... Hey, Bob. Hey, Cindy. What are y'all doing?
What are you doing? You know,
your brother or something. Like, I know you love the kid, but that's not real smart.
Well, right. Well, and that's the point I'm making. He says it's not everyone, and I'll never say it is everyone, but the way it's always presented in media and social media, and even by the people who participated or uphold it, is that it is everyone. And now I have to go conform again to a different stereotype. We went from the jerry curl to the high top fade to oversized clothes to skinny clothes to now this. It seems like black culture changes every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, but those things you listed for a second, because you and I talk about this, we're close to the same age. We dressed like in things my parents didn't think were the best. Yeah, you know, they didn't think that jean vest or whatever I thought was, you know, and thank God, you know, I didn't keep going with it because it did look pretty stupid.
Right.
But at that point, we were trying new clothes or, you know, my identity now.
Right,
or whatever.
What's the style? But yeah, we outgrew it.
But that was us doing it. Our parents weren't putting it together for us.
Right.
We were being teenagers, but we didn't have like endorsement. The parents didn't go fund our...
We weren't dressing like... They weren't dressing like kids either, and we weren't dressing like our parents. Dad wore double knits.
Right.
You know, and we wore denim and high top shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually I outgrew it, and then I did have to dress like an adult.
But the difference would be that your parents would have been like, I'm sponsoring all this. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the case that kids do something different, right? Kids will always do that. Teenagers are always going to do something different. I'm not going to be like mom and dad right now.
Right.
But in this case, it seems like you said, it's the parents almost that are behind it. Oh, the mothers are behind it.
They are behind it 100% because even the kids, some of the interviews I watched, my mom did it for me because she didn't have, and she worked two jobs so she could accomplish this for me. And there's that entitlement too. And it spreads. It spreads like a cancer. One kid sees next door, the Sullivans, Sean has that, so I want it.
Yeah.
And the young say, okay, well, if Sean, the Sullivans have it, you're going to have it.
Yeah.
And then the Browns do it, and it just goes on, and we have to break it. We have to call it for what it is. Other than embarrassing, is consumerism, is materialism, and we should call it for what it is to try and stop it from spreading. We don't want this to get... any larger.
Hey, can you hang on a second while I go to the news break?
Sure.
Okay, one more segment with Mr. Mobile, and then it's a big tease for tonight's show. More of this discussion coming up tonight right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 124 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. My guest is Mr. Mobile. Tonight, Mobile, this subject.
Right. And Sean, it has to be discussed because all too often we use phrases like the black community or black problems. But black people aren't a monolithic, indiscernible horde running around from Democratic... liberal policy to Democratic liberal policy.
No, wait, individuals?
There are. Yeah.
Shocking.
I'm telling you, if you watch the anti-social media and the news, you wouldn't realize that. You would hear that.
You don't have meeting? You don't have the black people meeting?
I haven't been to one in about 55 years. I mean, you know, they revoked my card.
Yes.
When I became friends with you, they double revoked my card.
Absolutely.
You know? But And so that's why I have to push back on these ideas that this is being black, being loud and obnoxious, going to restaurants and complaining about everything, feeling disrespected about everything, having to bling bling everything, having to be seen graduation shouting and cheering and jumping up and doing the swim, the Watusi, and the bird during grad. These things, this isn't what I grew up in. And so I can say it's not always been around.
Right.
Maybe COVID made it, social media made it more popular, but this exaggeration has always been an element in black neighborhoods and in black families, but it has never defined the entire American black culture. That's why I push back against it, because it just isn't the truth. And I want everyone to know, I'll tell this to anyone that will listen, just as there are different factions of, when you look at different nationalities and nations, there's factions. Northern Italy is different than Southern Italy. Mm-hmm. Western France is different than Eastern France. The climate is different. The culture, the food is different. Same thing when it comes to people, regardless of what color they are. But since I'm emphasizing black people, stop looking. I have three siblings. We aren't the same to ourselves over the last lifetime,
right,
but we surely aren't the same if anyone tried to compare us one to another.
Right.
Completely different. Same parents, same mm-hmm. household, different life experiences, different outcomes. Things that are important to us are on different places in our list.
Because you're individuals.
Because we're individuals with the same name.
Yes.
And that's what I have to push back on this whole. And why is everything described with black people have to be ghetto or hood? The ghetto Walmart. These, it's always something negative. Well, I don't believe in ghetto. Well, I know it exists. I don't want anything to do with it.
Right.
I'm not going to breed.
Why would you mimic it? Yeah.
Why, I'm not going to breed pit bulls into my backyard. I'm not going to get high and drive around and play loud music at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to let my wife walk outside wearing a bonnet and pajamas. I don't associate with those things. So that's why I have to push back on it, because I'm tired of the expectation of me being like what you see on television. I'm angry at these entertainers, athletes, actors, and that they could show something different, that they could show something respectable. You're on television. Everyone's looking at you. Comb your hair. Don't say this dim day and that. Don't say proudly. Don't speak in the same jargon that you use as text messages. Be an adult. Show mm-hmm. people what getting old looks like. I wear Hoka. Proud of it. And I wear my Under Armour because it fits my belly. I'm proud of those things.
It's good shoes.
They are excellent shoes. They even make a work boot I'm going to get. Yeah, tactical boot. Yeah.
With the same insole,
thick soles on them.
By the way, not brought to you by Hoka.
Not brought to you, but I'm getting a pair.
Okay. We got to check that out.
But it frustrates me that the heroes that are presented for black people aren't economists. They aren't historians. There's not Thomas Sowell. It's always actors and entertainers. Malcolm X said it 50, 60 years ago that the Negroes are the only people that have spokespeople who are only entertainers. They're actors. They're athletes. It's never the historian, the economist. It's never the intellectual. And that's what we have to get back to. We have to get back to leaders that are worthy of leadership, lead responsibly, maturely, and are a positive example. Man United Against Violence is always trying to participate in something wherever we can. Mm-hmm. And when I bring my ideas, our ideas of husband, wife, children, that when we say we're going to pay for a kid's haircut, we are paying for traditional haircuts.
Mm-hmm.
We're not paying for anything that's modern. And if you disagree with that, fine.
You don't have to get the haircut.
You don't have to get the haircut. Yeah. And if you say that kids prefer this, then that's your thing. Ours is this thing, and we don't think we have the only solution in town. This is our solution. And so I will forever stand up and shout from the rooftop. I don't want to be typecast by black people or white people or anyone. I just want to be JY.
We like that a lot. More of that tonight on Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
See you guys.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and a good time to check in at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry with our friend Anna. Hello, Anna.
Doing good, and right now gold and silver is down, so it's a great buying opportunity.
How are, like, people come in and say, okay, I want to buy some, but gold, obviously, even though it's down a little bit, is, you know, looking at buying a whole bar of gold, you're looking at a lot of money. You have smaller denominations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you wanted to get just a couple hundred dollars worth of stuff, yeah, we can give you some fractional pieces. You are end up paying a higher premium over spot for it, but, you know, if you only want to spend $200, you know, we're going to work within your budget.
All right, and that brings me to that. I think it's the novelty of it that's pretty cool, though, those gold backs.
Mm-hmm.
How does
those
that
are
work?
Always a good choice. Basically, it's just a piece. It's kind of like, it's hard to explain, but it's kind of like a sheet of gold, and it looks like it would be just like money, you know, but it's made out of gold. So it's a fractional piece, and typically they're like one out of like a thousands, one out of two thousands of a troy ounce, and they're very affordable.
Maybe a good idea for Father's Day, and I'm sure, I mean, I'm typecasting myself, but y'all, how's Opinel knife selection looking for Father's Day?
We have plenty of Opinel knives for the men and the ladies, too.
Good stuff. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on Facebook, on our website, or they can call the store. Phone number here is 251-725-1590.
Thanks, Anna.
You're welcome.
All right. There goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins. And we'll get your text and phone calls at 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. A few of these texts here. C.B. Carl said, damn, why can't we just be happy being hardworking Americans living in this country formerly known as the melting pot? Well, I think what John's talking about, he'll talk about more on his show tonight, but I mean, I think what you're seeing with these prom party send-offs and all this money is not... It's not what everybody's doing, but it becomes viral. I get what John's saying. Like, if one family's doing it, then the kids are like, well, they did it. And then, you know, why don't they do it? And why don't they do it? And it's like, if the parents, like in some of these videos that I watched that John sent me, want better for the kids, let's do something that doesn't burn through the money in one night. If they get them that reliable transportation to get to work, put them an account, said, here you go. We're getting you on the right foot. You don't have to take student loans for your first year, you know, or something like that. Let's get you in school doing this. That long term, that does a lot more for that child and giving them what you didn't have. That's always a parent's idea, right? Let's do better for our child than we had. Well, that's not blowing $25,000 in one night. It's investing in their future. All right, let's go to the phones, and then we'll go back to the text line. 251-343-0106. Oh, look here. It's my buddy Jeff Stone. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Everything good at the shop?
Doing good, doing good. Is Jay Wash still with you? Or
he's No, he's you know how he is. Man of mystery. Okay. He's off to his next adventure.
I got you. So something I've been meaning to call about, and I've been thinking about this for a while, is the term gun control. Or what's the other term? What are the words they use? They termed it
gun violence.
Gun control, gun violence. We need to figure out how to get away from that, because that term does nothing, because it doesn't actually exist. There's no guns are not violent. People are violent. So why don't we try to normalize the fact that if your first reaction is to pick up a gun to handle a disagreement, a beef, some sort of issue between you and another person, your first reaction is to pick up a gun. And let me just say, yes, I sell guns, but not for that reason. But why don't we normalize, okay, instead of picking a gun up, why don't you just use maybe your voice, your words, or even, you know, like we did in high school, you have a fist fight and then you're friends afterwards. But we need to normalize calling these people cowards. If you pick up a gun, that's your first reaction, because you're scared to maybe fight, have a fist fight. No, I'm not condoning any kind of violence at all, but it's better than shooting somebody because you're having a disagreement over something. Wouldn't you agree with that?
100%. And it's like you said, the people you had a fist fight with. Yeah, of course, I mean, I could sit here and be like, and nobody should have, no teenage boys should have a fist fight. Yeah, I'd be BSing y'all. Teenage boys are going to have a fist fight.
Not really.
Yeah, that's going to happen. But then you end up being friends later, or even if you're not, you still see that person. You're like, oh, cool, I see that person, and, you know, we're now older men, but they're still doing their thing.
And nobody got killed. In prison.
Nope.
And everybody's lives and families are destroyed. So why don't we normalize calling these people cowards?
Yeah.
This coward shot up somebody's house, their grandma's house. This coward. We don't say that. We don't ever say that.
No, it's a good point. But we would need to say it and say it again and say it again, right, before it becomes part of the vernacular. To shame. And listen, shame, like J.Y. always says, shame's a valuable tool we don't use very much in our society. You should shame certain behaviors. Shame is okay.
And we got away from that. And I think the terms that we're currently using, it's a circle that just revolves. It doesn't go anywhere. We're not helping. We're not resolving anything by using the same terms, you know. Instead of the news coming on saying, oh, this person shot up this, you know, group of people, then you say this coward who lives in this neighborhood shot up these people doing this. These cowards did this. This coward did that. And it has nothing to do with color.
No.
They're cowards. And that's what we need to label them as. That's what we need to normalize.
Yeah, and how do we get there? How do we go, you know, from your mouth to God's ears? How do you go from what you're saying is completely logical? There's a lot of people nodding right now. I agree with you 100%. But we got to get this message to 15-year-olds.
We stop being so politically correct and worried about, oh, we might hurt somebody's feelings if we call them a coward. Or if they're labeled as
how about calling them a murderer?
Forget all that.
If they're... Yeah, better to call them cowards if that makes a difference to people versus killers if they end up being a killer. I'd rather shame them now and not have them be a killer later.
Because there's a lot of people, they want to be on the news. They want to be on you know, have
crazy?
Their mugshot.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. I mean, that was the thing
and
about perp walks.
It makes them into a hero. But if they're called a coward and they stop doing the perp walks, which I was totally against, even when I was a police officer, all that crap, do not... make these people into heroes in their neighborhoods. Label them. Call them cowards. Don't do the perp walks. Don't put their picture up where they're smiling in the metro in the pictures. Come on.
No, and I agree. You know, and I'm torn between being somebody in media and just being a regular guy and a citizen. When that happened with this real limiting of perp walks, at first, you know, from media side, I'm like, well, we don't get to hear but I saw the logic in it. You know, I said, it does make, because in my mind, it would be the worst thing ever to be accused of a crime and have your face on the TV for people to see. But I'm seeing that through my eyes, you know, and then I realize that I'm not the same as a person, the coward, who decided to pop off rounds at people. That to that person, it's not a shameful thing. It's a, and so you're increasing their, I don't know, demented
popularity.
Demented popularity.
Street creds, all that. Yeah. And that's what a lot of them want. They want the street cred. They want the popularity. They don't really care what happens to them in the future. However, they do not want to be called a coward. They want to be respected. And you call them a coward on TV, on the media, and everything, that's going to make them think twice about that. Well, maybe so. I'm wrong. That's just my two cents.
No, I think you're absolutely correct. My question is, how do we get that to the, not Jeff, not Sean, not John, how do we get that to the kids that will be susceptible to this? We just have to, it's going to be, you have to do it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it before it gets to be part of the zeitgeist.
Yeah, but look where we're doing now. We're just labeling everything gun control, gun violence, and all that. But that it doesn't go anywhere. We're not anywhere closer to resolving this that we are now than we were 20 years ago. Nowhere near closer because we're using the same approach every day.
Well said. If we keep doing the same thing and expect a different outcome, what's that the definition of?
Yep.
It's exactly. Insanity. All right, Jeff, thank you, man.
Just my 2 cents.
I appreciate it. But Jeff, checking in. You can do the same thing. 251-343-0106. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Get back to the text line, but I did one of my reminders here, a reminder for something on the show I did not do in the first hour. I don't know how to react. I do know how I'm going to react to this. I don't know how you would react to it. Just thought I'd let you know. So we get emails when you're in this business. You get on, you know, a media contacts list, and you get there are pitching shows, their press releases, all that stuff comes in. Just normal, you know, like whatever business you do, you probably get those things from different vendors or whatever. We get them from people who want to be on shows. This one caught my attention. I guess I got this over the weekend. Yes, Saturday. The title of the email. The title of the email is 20-foot IUD to visit Birmingham. Didn't say 20-foot tall, but it says 20-foot IUD to visit Birmingham. Now, I'll give them this. A lot of times I don't open these. I'm like, oh, they're coming from a PR agency. They want to be on, you know, whatever. It's whatever, whatever, strategies.com or, you know, strategy. Anything like that in their name. Kind of. But the title of the email, they won with this one. 20-foot IUD to visit Birmingham June 10th. So here it is. I guess it gets, you know, get them attention, like it has with me here. It said, Alabama leaders and advocates gather to mark Griswold anniversary and defend contraception rights. So it said, on June 10th, legislators, healthcare providers, advocates, and community leaders will gather in Birmingham to mark the anniversary of the Griswold versus Connecticut and highlight the growing legal and political threats to constitutional right to contraception. Now, we can parse that out. And talk about what they're, it's about abortion, right? I don't know if there's a state that's pushing for no preventative contraception. Maybe there's some state out there I don't know about. But to get people to come out to this thing, I guess, pretty smart. And who's on it? Maryland Lands, Representative Maryland Lands, Neil Rafferty, Tabitha Eisner, like the people on the farthest left in Alabama. They're going to be there. It's fine. But I'll say this. The brilliance of their operation is, I have not seen a picture of it, and maybe I should email them back to see it, but a 20-foot IUD, and it gives it sentience, right? Because it says the 20-foot, it didn't say we're bringing a 20-foot IUD to Birmingham. It says the 20-foot IUD to visit Birmingham, June 10th. So be looking for pictures and video later of what a 20-foot IUD looks like, but so I'd let you know that. All right, to the text line here. B-Dark said a couple things. Sorry, we got to catch up here. Said Tupperville got inside info on investments and got rich. That was from last hour. Then said to John's commentary, if they live in public housing most of the time on entitlement, so the taxpayer is footing at least half of the cost. You know, my thought there, B-Dark, is parents wanted to have better for their children than they had. So if you could come up with the $20,000 or $25,000, wouldn't you try to, and you want your kids to do better than you did, put that in a college account, or if they're not going to go to college, reliable transportation to get to a job, those kind of things. You know, money for a down payment, you know, those kind of things versus just blowing it in one night. Jim Bob in Jackson, who I got to hang out with the other day, what's happening, said I-10 westbound before the Mississippi line is almost at a standstill. Don't know what's going on. Well, if I don't know. I-10 westbound at the Mississippi state line, that probably, I'm just guessing, probably an accident. If you were saying I-10 westbound on the Bayway, as I traversed yesterday, it would be about nothing. I know this is the cliche of cliches. We've all had these conversations multiple times, but yesterday, it wasn't even it wasn't late afternoon. It was kind of mid-afternoon. I mean, it was 1 o'clock, something like that, 2 o'clock. And I get it. People leave the Gulf. They're coming back, going places. But I had the car in park on the Bayway, westbound. If those of y'all that don't do directions very well, that's heading towards Mobile. Westbound on the Bayway, it took about, I think I figured it, 38 minutes from the time we passed like Bass Pro Shops to the time traffic opened up there, you know, before the Virginia Street exit. No wreck anywhere. And I know, it feels like I shouldn't even talk about this because we've talked about it so many times over the years on the show, but just yesterday, a reminder. I mean, what in the hell? I mean, a good amount of traffic. But there's no reason, there was no wreck, no anything, and I have the car in park on the Bayway. That's not a traffic or a car wreck. That is a human nature. And to watch the people get into the tunnel and do about 21 miles an hour. And then we're released like the checkered flag came down, you know, when you finally get out of the tunnel, then people start driving it. But thank you, Jim Bob, for the update. That's I-10 westbound at the Mississippi State line. All right, C.B. Carl said, Jeff is so correct. I remember when a fight was fixing to start, everyone would lay weapons on the table to keep down the stupid. Cowards can't take a punch. By the way, Jeff is a C.B. I knew he was a Navy veteran. I didn't know he was a C.B. as well. Very cool. Yeah, Brandon sent me a link here. I've not been able to click it here, but it says yearly Vibrio reminder. It may be to the same story I had pulled up before we came on today. It was right there alongside my flooded cave in North Alabama story. Yeah, Florida teen fights flesh-eating bacteria. Should we have a Vibrio warning? If you're in the area where somebody's contracted Vibrio, your phone goes crazy. But it is. It's that time of year that you have open wounds. I mean, there's many, like, contributing circumstances to it. And a lot of times I think people know this, but then we find out each year they don't. This kid, I mean, 17, says this is the point. Rip currents, Vibrio, these things actually are the dangers, but we're focused on the sharks. So a 17-year-old is hospitalized after doctors confirmed he contracted Vibrio. Josiah Thompson spent a summer day at Lions Park in Niceville with his siblings. Within 2 days, a minor scratch on his leg became a life-threatening emergency. So once again, if you've got cuts, you got open wounds, think about it before you go at it. And often, if you see symptoms right away, get to the doctor right away. So some of the conversations we've had in the past on the show with doctors say, you can head this off at the pass a lot of times if you get treatment very quickly. But yeah, this is a 17-year-old who got Vibrio, so it is that season. So be aware out there. Yeah, this is talking about the child. The child's not like it's some weakened condition. The mother wants local leaders to increase public awareness about the bacteria and potential risk in public waters. She said, Terza Thompson said, this is why I'm pushing for a system to put in place known bacteria levels in local waters. I think that's good. Somebody go fund that again over at Baykeeper. Said, I don't want this to happen to any other children. My son is 5'11", 225. So a strapping young man. Yeah. So, yes, I did. Maybe that's a story, maybe not, that you sent me, Brandon, but it's on that. Jason, see, good. He filled in. He said, 20-foot. What a woman. Don said, hey, Sean, I wonder how many of these kids in these fast sports cars and with it DUI on top of blowing their college fund. All right, so Paul Feinbaum takes over. We'll do it again tomorrow. Y'all have a great one.